I told somebody this morning before worship that from my neck up, I'm okay. It's just from there down is getting older and older as the days go by. I'm glad again for the opportunity to study with you. Preaching has been my life for a long, long time. When the elders suggested that maybe we could give Kevin some time off to hopefully recover from his problem, I was more than glad, and I believe that God will get me through the weeks ahead and that you will be a help in your comments. Last week, we began a series of studies from the book of Colossians in which Paul emphasizes the need for thanksgiving. Began the study in chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and Paul was thankful for what he had heard about the Colossian Christians. He also was thankful for what he called the fruit-bearing gospel. And so this morning we come to the second time that Paul will use this word thanks, but this time it's going to be somewhat different. It's going to be very deep use of the word. We're going to have to use our minds and our hearts to totally understand what Paul is going to say and how he's going to use the word thanksgiving. But before we even read our text, I would like to go over to Matthew chapter 7 and borrow there a rock, because I believe it has something to do with our text and with the word thanksgiving. Jesus has finished the Sermon on the Mount, and then he addresses the crowd with a little parable. He tells them that those who hear his words and obey him are like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Remember the rock. The rains came down, the floods came up, the winds blew against his house, but it stood firm because it was founded on a rock. There were those who heard his teaching, and they didn't pay much attention to it. And they built their house on sand. And the rains came down, and the floods came up. And guess what happened to the house on the sand? We all know. It collapsed. And so I want to borrow that rock and bring it over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Because in verse 12, we will see our word thanks. And to me, it is the foundation for verse 9, 10, and 11. And a lesson for each of us about what's important about our decisions. And so before we do anything else, read with me just verse 12 from this text. Just verse 12. Where Paul writes, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is a very straightforward, has a very clear direction. The reason for the thanks is because God had qualified the Colossian brethren to have an inheritance. If we turned over to Colossians 3, the first three verses, Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, speaking of baptism, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life was hid with Christ in God. And when Christ comes again, we'll receive the inheritance and joy with him. And so Paul, and by the way, Paul is in a Roman prison when he writes this. And it's interesting that he would take that situation and turn it into an emphasis on the word thanks. And as you look at verse 12, you realize we're going to be talking about something that is very deep. This is not shallow thanks. This is not just waving a hand and thanks. This is understanding in the mind and especially in the heart that you've received something, that you have something, and that it is good and that it comes from God. He's qualified you. Without God's hand in it, you would not be where you're at. You would not have this promise of an inheritance. And so look with me at the rest of the text, and then we'll come back to verses 9, 10, and 11. But look with me at verse 9, 10 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness, patience, joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the first thing I'd like for us to do is read verse 9, 10, and 11 individually, and we'll take out thanksgiving. There's no thanks here. We're totally indifferent. And what do we gain from verse 9? For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. But thanksgiving is not there. And I would say that with thanksgiving out of the picture, so is spiritual wisdom and understanding. So many come to Christ for baptism, but not for growth. For baptism, but not to lead a walk, a life that is pleasing to God. It's their loss. And then there are those who build their lives on that rock that is thanksgiving. And they grow in understanding. They grow in wisdom. Solomon had a lot to say about wisdom and knowledge in the book of Proverbs. And I think of chapter 8 especially, and would encourage you to read that chapter this afternoon. He uses wisdom as that which God used to create the heavens, the earth, and you and me. And here in Colossians, Paul speaks of it in a way that is very deep. And so in a moment, we'll put thanksgiving back in verse 9. But look at verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, right in the middle of it, bearing fruit. Last Sunday, it was the fruit-bearing gospel. Here's the fruit-bearing life. And in all of the things that are in verse 10, without thanksgiving, without that motivation, would anyone choose to walk in a way that is pleasing to God? I don't know if we realize it or not, but the greatest motivation we have is the understanding of what we have in Christ. If we look around us at our country, how many people need that thanksgiving and what it brings with it? A reason to walk in a certain way. A reason to try and please God in a certain way. And then there's verse 11. Verse 11 reads, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness, patience, joyously. Now think for a moment that thanksgiving is out of the picture. You don't feel anything in your mind or in your heart that has anything to do with thanksgiving. Do you really believe that God is going to strengthen you within your mind and heart? Hardly. And one of those words that he has at the end, steadfastness, patience, joy. Those are built on that rock of thanksgiving. Now I want to go back for just a moment to the book of Ephesians and to a very favorite passage of mine. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. Here is where thanksgiving gets a helping hand in our understanding. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling you, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness toward us who believe. The eyes of the heart. I don't know if there is a better way to describe the foundation, the rock, that is thanksgiving in our text than that little passage in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. You want a summation for the Christian life? For what motivates you? What causes thanksgiving to be your rock? There it is, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. But now let's try something else. Let's look a little closer at our verses 9, 10, and 11. And in verse 9, there's something very important to understanding about thanksgiving. And if you come down to the last two lines, with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, is this just plain old wisdom? Is it just plain old understanding? Not really. This is spiritual wisdom. And so I found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a very helpful statement. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and come to verse 14. Just one little verse, but it tells us so much about spiritual wisdom and understanding. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. I want to read it again. Listen, because you may be in this verse. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him and cannot be understood. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. If you go back over to verse 6 of the same chapter, chapter 2, yet we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to come. Wisdom, spiritual wisdom. I think it tells so much when the Apostle Paul says, it really is foolishness to most people. The natural man thinks about the sacrifice of Christ, thinks about the church, even thinks about the Bible as foolishness. Why waste your time on that which doesn't really do you any good? And Paul understood very well. Christ understood very well. You may have someone deal with you this way. Why do you put your time into that? What is there in it that attracts you? Well, Paul's statement is, the foolish man just cannot understand it. But if you understand anything at all about why you are what you are as a Christian, you know spiritual wisdom is what you're using. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. And it's not foolish to us. The Lord's Supper, which we just partook of, that's not foolish. That has meaning. that the average individual just might not understand. We sing songs of praise to God. The individual that appreciates music might not understand why we don't have an instrument, why it's just our voices in praise to God. Our praying and expecting strength to come from that praying doesn't make sense to a multitude of people. Does it make sense to us? Yes. Why? Because thankfulness beats within our hearts. We understand what happened on that cross. We understand the sacrifice of God sending His Son. There's a passage that I want to read back here in Colossians, and so come back to Colossians with me. Come over to verse 21. We're talking about thanksgiving. We're talking about verse 9, this spiritual wisdom and understanding. Come over to verse 21 through 23 and think of what motivates the Colossian Christians. Although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy, blameless, beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, which was proclaimed in all the creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. You notice that little statement about in all creation under heaven? I want to share something with you that I received last Friday in the mail. And it goes along with this wisdom and understanding. It also goes along with verse 10. This is from the paper, the Eastern European Missions magazine. This copy was devoted to the Crimean War and what was happening in Ukraine and in Russia. The report read, "We're excited to share news of a joyful event in Warsaw, Poland. Two sisters, Natasha and Nina, put on Christ in baptism. They come from Mariupol, Ukraine, a city that has been severely affected by the war and are now resettled in Warsaw, Poland. After the women were baptized, Natasha shared, during the shelling in Mariupol, we sat in the basement and prayed. God saved us and brought us out of Mariupol. And now God saved us for eternal life with Him. A world away, two sisters obeyed the gospel. Why? Because they're thankful for a hope in the future." It goes on, Natasha and Nina are two of the many who now attend Bible study and worship service, are active and involved in aid distribution and community activities. Both of these women serve as a reminder of the resilience and the strength that comes from placing hope and trust in God. We have not yet really been tried in our society and hope we never will. But there are Christians who could teach us something about the significance of thanksgiving in that verse 12. But now come down with me to verse 10. "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." I want to just focus on that walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That gives you a reason, a purpose, a direction in your life. How many individuals have amassed more money, as the saying goes, than God has, and are not happy? There are those who climb mountains and can only live for the next mountain to climb. There are those who think that just letting themselves go, joy, enjoyment, letting it all hang out, will bring them some enjoyment. And it doesn't seem to work. And yet Paul has something that he wants to share with the Colossian Christians. It's about choosing a way of life. Before Paul became a Christian, his greatest joy was persecution. Now he's writing to a group of his faithful brethren, and he wants them to know the place of thanksgiving in the heart and in the mind. And then look at verse 11. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for that attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously. I mentioned this in the morning class. In the magazine that I received last Friday from Eastern European Missions, there was a comment in another article about 50 Christians, members of the body of Christ, in St. Petersburg, Russia, who were gathering together and preparing meals for people who are fleeing the war in Ukraine and coming into Russia. Christians, you're simply doing what the Colossians would be doing, what Christians our world around would be doing. Why? Because they are strengthened with power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness, patience, joyously. And so all those verses make more sense with verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, there is a passage that I read last week. This passage needs to be understood with that spiritual wisdom that apparently the Colossians had. And if this doesn't bring thanksgiving, nothing will. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, reading down through verse 20. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. Both in heavens and the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created for him and by him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he will have first place in everything. First place in the hearts and the minds of the Colossian Christians and the Yakima Christians. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, with the things on earth or things in heaven. What does it take to appreciate and understand that passage? It takes that spiritual wisdom and understanding. And it takes the decision of verse 10. This is the way I'm going to walk. This is the way I'm going to build my house. I'm going to build it on the rock. And the rains will come, and the floods will come up, and the winds will blow, and my house will stand because it was founded on a rock. Somebody has a radio on. You know, when I was preaching full time, little kids would shout out. I got to where I knew that I shouldn't use rhetorical questions because they would shout out the answer to me. So now it's radios. And while I enjoy music, not while I'm preaching. But I want you to look over at chapter 4 before we're finished. Thanksgiving. I've mentioned the fact that Paul's in Roman prison. Look at verse 7 through 9. And Paul is going to use two words that I'm going to call your attention to. As to my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant, fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to for you this purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation. Circumstances, situation, Roman prison. How are these two men to encourage the hearts of the Colossian Christians? They will carry this letter that is full of spiritual thanksgiving, spiritual wisdom and understanding, a choice of the way to walk your life, and of the realization that God will provide strength for the inner person. The passages in the book of Colossians that deal with this thanksgiving, I'm persuaded that every single one of us need. Every time you turn on news, it seems that there's another shooting, another act of violence, another people can't get along with each other. Anger, frustration fills the world. And yet we have something going for us. The potential for spiritual wisdom and understanding, which is so much deeper than just the average knowledge. And we have a choice. We can build on sand, or we can build on a rock. And the rock will hold our lives right where we want it. And then there's the strength. You read the book of Acts, especially the last half, and you wonder, what kept Paul going? He was stoned, put in jail, beaten, rejected, run out of the city. What kept him going? Thanksgiving in his heart. And it's all through this letter that we're studying. I hope that you think a little bit about Thanksgiving in your heart and in your life. And I hope you understand a little bit about that spiritual wisdom and understanding that others may call foolish, but you know what it does for you. And enjoy and share that joy wherever you can. If you're here this morning and there's some way we can help you, I'm going to be sitting right over here on this bench. You know what happens when I stand up. But I'd be more than happy to talk to anyone who wants to come forward and sit with me over there. And we'll talk about the issue that's plaguing you. Would you come while we stand and sing?